Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is the 6:30 Apostles time. We are keeping it real here, and we are dealing with current issues and current situations and circumstances. Now, I'm not exactly sure who all can be here with me today. I did not get notification that someone would not be here, so I expect them shortly. Until then, the current news of the day, it's been 24/7, not quite that. We're talking about the Supreme Court and what they have done and what they have not done and the impact that that's going to have on different people, different groups and different races and different situations and different circumstances. And, you know, I'm pleased with it. I'm contented with the decision that they made, because I just see that's part of the divine order. For a time is this. And the reason I'm saying that is simple, because the people could not go to those schools, that would not allow them into those schools. And that's one reason why they came up with HBCUs. Now you're going to ask me, what is a HBCU? It's a historical black college. Education was denied of people of color. They even had problems with reading and et cetera. And now when we take a look at today, what do we see? We see that them closing the door on us. So let us pray. Almighty everlasting creator, we give you thanks and give you praise, Elohim, for you are the one that did something that no other being has been ever able to do. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for the way that you put all of this out there and put it together. You didn't use a tool. You didn't use a hand. You spoke it with soul. And then you said it's good. So this afternoon, we're going to have a conversation in a way with your word and knowing the power of your word, that it will speak to the hearer, to the listeners, and I trust that they may gain some insight into what's going on now with the Supreme Court and how people are talking about it, how people are taking it. And let their heart not be troubled. Let your Holy Spirit lead them into all truth, and that you are doing an old thing a new way. And I just thank you and praise you for the way that you're going to touch lives and change lives as a result of our program today. For this is not just our program. This is your program, because the words of wisdom that comes out of our mouth, it came from you. And the quiet place, the Holy Spirit, will lead them into how they can have a quiet place during this time. In the name of your precious Son, amen, amen. Well, we're going to kick this program off this evening, and we're going to talk about these current events from a scriptural perspective. And when we look at things, good evening, how are you? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I was just speaking. I was saying good evening, how are you?
I'm good, Apostle. I'm strong. How are you?
I am fantastic. I've learned to stand on the Word of God in the midst of trials and tribulations where other people perceive them as trials and tribulations, and I see I'm at absolute peace.
That's good.
And
that's saying you ain't anything.
That's right. That's it. And whenever
you trust in the Lord, you basing your happiness and your joy and your peace is based upon what the Lord say about it, huh?
That's absolutely correct. And I think the somebody that we refer to as love, the apostle of love, has finally joined us today. Good afternoon.
Well, hello,
good
my comrades. How's everybody today?
We are good. How about you, Apostle?
Supernaturally wonderful.
Oh, good.
Ma'am.
Yes,
good. You anchor too, huh?
Ma'am?
You and Apostle Armstrong, and I agree with you. Y'all can say that because y'all saying and you trust what God say about it, huh?
Amen. Ooh, Lord Jesus, yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And if we go to Isaiah 43, 18:19, let's just go down to 21, and that's what the scripture that came to me, and I was standing on that in the midst of I hear all this grumbling and complaining and lamenting and crying, and we got a problem. No, you don't have a problem. You just created your own problem. Listen to this scripture and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. That's one. And the other one was Deuteronomy 18. I think I started 17, though. And this is the NIV version. It says in Isaiah 43:18-21 reads thus, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." Now you say, now, how does that apply to, well, they just abolished affirmative action, so let's forget it. It's past. I can't dwell on something that's gone. It says, now, this is the solution. This is God speaking now. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? He's asking us, I'm in the midst of this. That's past now. That's history. That's his story. I'm doing a new thing. And then he goes on to say, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls. Why? Why do they honor him? He said, because I provide water in the wilderness and stream in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And whenever you get down to that, what does that say? What does that say? That's saying it carried me back. Again, I didn't stay back there. It carried me back. Okay, how did these colleges, HBCUs, get started? Why are the students going here? Excuse me. Why aren't the students going to HBCUs? They couldn't go into these white universities and colleges before. Now, then it went to this. It says here, Deuteronomy 18:19, but I'm going to start at 17. It says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Then 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirm his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. All right, you say, all right, let's talk about wealth. Apostle, you stressing. No, Apostle's not stressing. So the same thing, if that applied to wealth, that applied to education. And then you say, okay, how does that apply to education? What do we do? Our ancestors prayed. Our ancestors sought to God and got, in terms of God's intervention in the situation and circumstances that they found themselves in, that their offsprings, they could not get an education, but other people's offsprings were getting that education. And what did he do? He made a covenant with our ancestors. And what did he do? He created. If you look at these private HBCUs, the majority of them were created out of some church or some religious system, whether it was a denomination or whether it was a group within a denomination that got together and formed these institutions. That was, actually, that was God's work. Those universities, what some of them are now called universities, but those schools, especially those private schools, and I can list them off. One's right here in North Carolina. You got AME Zion Church started Livingstone College. You got Shaw University Baptist Church started that. You got St. Augustine Episcopal Church started that. You got Johnson C. Smith Presbyterian Church started that. And we can go on state by state. The only reason I'm dealing with North Carolina, because that's the one that I know more about. Okay, now you say, okay, what about state school? Yeah, state school was started also because they could not go to the predominant school where the predominant group was going. So they created one. What did they create them for? Agriculture, A&T, agriculture and technical. Most of the state schools, that's what they were created for. And then the other one was teachers' colleges. Teachers' colleges. Winston-Salem, that was their specialty. Produces teachers. And, you know, you just think about all of these, in favorite state, that was a teacher-focused teacher college curriculum. But the thing about it is, God made a covenant with the ancestors to provide education for their offsprings. And then verse 19 says, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Okay. You say, oh, well, no, let's go back again. What did we do? We turned from our first love. I think that's somewhere in Revelation, in one of them seven churches. We turned from our first love. You say, okay, what did you turn to? We turned to the Supreme Court, and we turned to the presidencies. So they're the ones to save us. With integration and all this other, the laws that was passed and upheld by the court and the executive order that was put forth by the office of the presidency. And, yeah, what happened when you turned from your first love? Well, you say, now, what's the first love? People still love education. First love is God, the creator, the one that made that covenant with our ancestors. So now, today, whenever I heard that, I rejoice. I had no problem with it whatsoever. Because I am a graduate of one of those HBCUs, and I wrote policies and when I was at HUD, then went to the White House. I was one of those. When I worked in the controller's office, Department of Human Resources for the controller, he gave me a signature order. I could sign in the documents for any documents in his name. I graduated from a little HBCU, which was supposed to be inferior to all these other universities. And whenever I worked in the Office of State Agency Affairs, if I had been in a state, this was in the District of Columbia, I've been working out of the governor's office, making decisions on how money is going to be dispersed through various groups, and working with my colleagues that graduated with me from Livingstone College. He was working in the Office of State Affairs. He was dealing with, I remember he was dealing with determining the number of beds and the number of hospitals that was going to be the total number of hospitals that was allotted for the city of Washington based on federal laws. We had to interpret those and apply them to situations and circumstances. And if we'd been in the state, we would have been doing that statewide. So all I'm saying, I'm hoping people who are listening, I hope people are hearing that whenever you have a spiritual foundation, whenever you can stand on the word, there's power in that word. And I'm looking forward to what God is getting ready to do, that new thing. Because, see, God has not given up that covenant that he made with our ancestors to provide educational opportunities for their offspring. So I hope that you who are listening, that you take time, go into that quiet place and sit down and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about the new thing that God is doing in the midst of what it looks like is chaos. Now, we have the apostle of the already. We have the apostle of love. And no, we have not. We did not discuss this. This is for you listeners. We did not discuss this prior to coming on air. And we are leaning on the word. Comments? Questions? I don't know who want to be first. The last shall be first. So, Apostle Love.
I think you and the Apostle of Already, as my grandmama used to say, y'all in cahoots. I just need a little clarification.
Okay.
Are you talking about the affirmative action? And what that's saying is that race will no longer be an issue of what school you attend. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that was part of it, that race would, people would have an opportunity to apply and to be accepted into colleges.
Based upon their credentials,
it was like
and not their
right.
skin color.
Right. That's what it's supposed to have been about. But it was about skin color because they were saying that they needed diversity, so we need X number of non-white students in here. And then you had a non-white student of Asian origin complain. And when that complaint went up, then that's how it got to the Supreme Court.
Okay. Well, I guess I could be more versed in that. But I'm just thinking, you know, as the church, God wants us to stop looking at this thing called race and color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God does all his people, and just my own opinion, for as little as I know about it, we don't need to be given a curve just because we're darker. I believe that where we have lacked, maybe, and some may disagree, is we've got to tell our young people and change that mindset that they're not as smart as other groups of people. God
Amen.
Did not put a dumb us and a smart bell in others. But it's the thing, it's the way we have trained ourselves, the way we see ourselves. You know, even when you talk to your children, what would you like to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a beautician. I want to be that. It's nothing at all wrong with that. But if some of our children would say, well, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a pilot, child, please. You know, and I think a lot of it, because our children in every race that's on the earth, is like Prophet Miller said, there's only two races. Believers and unbelievers.
Yeah.
Now, that's the way God sees it. And until
mm-hmm.
we get to that place, we're always going to have a racism problem, whether it's about school or can you live in this neighborhood? But this is why the Church of the Living God has got to get the agape love back in our hearts. We've got to see
Amen.
Things through the eyes of Jesus. We got to know that, you know, okay, if I want to attend Harvard or Yale or these other, and there are a lot of other students there, then I bring my academics up, bring my grades up. You know, I don't want you to give me a break just because I'm black. I want to get in there because I have the academics, I have the grades, I know I'm smart, I can learn. And I'm thinking we've just been, as you say, sometimes we create our own problems. God
yes.
loves everybody. We had the body of Christ have got, and I say this again, we've got to stop seeing color. God doesn't say he saved us because you're black or you're white. Or God sent Jesus to deliver all of his people. God loves all of us the same. Do everybody believe that? No. You got a lot of black folk don't like other black folks. You got white folk
True.
Don't like white. You just, every race, that's just a problem that exists because of the curse that's in the earth. But it's going to take the church. It's going to take the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to turn this thing around. We've got to get to the place where we see each other made and created in the image and the likeness of God, that there's only one God, one Lord, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, and if you are born again, then the same Spirit of Christ Jesus is in you, is in me. This exterior, that's almost like going down the street and somebody decided to paint their house blue. They're all made alike. Let's say they're all made alike. A lot of times you get in these homes now, they're building them, they all have the same floor plan. Let me say that. And somebody decides they want yellow. Somebody decides they want purple. Somebody wants, and, you know, that's a matter of preference, but it's the same house. It's the same floor plan. So we've got to start looking at that. So I sometimes get so, I don't know, I just get agitated when people make everything about race. It is not about race. It's about the heart. It has very little
mm-hmm.
to do with race. Allow the enemy to get in there, and he know that that's a card he can use, and it has worked successfully in the past, and he keeps using it now. We need to grow up and look beyond. You didn't have anything to do with the texture of your hair or the color of your skin or the color of your eyes. We all came out of God, and God is beautiful. God is love. So every man that he created carries the image and the likeness of God. And we will begin to see that. We begin to see beyond our prejudice. And, you know, it's rooted in fear.
Mm-hmm.
All it is rooted, just rooted in fear. Because if we get too many of them in here, they'll take, oh, who is them? Get too many of who? You know, that's another person. He got two legs, two arms, two eyes, two ears, nose. It's just different. You know, I don't get it. I know that there's a lot of prejudice in the earth. And you know something about Armstrong? It's going to be here till Jesus comes. It was here when he was here. And it's going to be here till he comes. But I pray that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, will begin to rise up. You know, it was like when Paul told Peter, when the other Jews weren't here, you were getting along real good with the Gentiles, and then when they came here, you up and changed. See, we got to stop changing. We got to stop changing. You know, when you look at a person, what's the first thing that you notice about that person? You may look at them and that's a black person. But that doesn't even begin to say who they are. That's merely the house they live in. And you need to get to know that person, the integrity of their heart, their character. That's what makes a person who they are, not the house they live in. That'd be like me going down the house and I throw eggs at your house because you decide to paint it yellow and I don't like yellow, and I throw eggs at the blue house because I don't like blue. Well, that's not my house. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't need anybody's permission to dip us in whatever he decided to dip us in and bring us here in this earth. This is his earth. He's the owner of this earth. He can put here whoever he wants to put here. And we've got to get to that place that we don't own nothing. We're here in management. God put us here as stewards to manage this earth. He gave us a floor plan, the holy word of God, the Bible. And he tells us that we're to run this earth just like he runs heaven. And I'm serious. We're going to be so amazed when we get to heaven. We'll probably walk around for the first million years with our mouths up. Wow. 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 You mean that was okay? Wow. You mean that was okay? Wow. And so I think we just got to get to a place where we stop allowing color, ethnicity, economics, your finances, what kind of car you drive. We look at all those exterior things, and you know what? All those things are going to pass away. All those things,
right.
They're not even going. They won't even go. All that's going to be left here. And what's going to God is our spirit and our soul. And that's what we need as the body of Christ. And it's going to take the church to do that, but the church is so full of hatred and racism and malice itself. How can the sick heal the sick? Somebody got to get healed so we can start passing this love and looking beyond what our eyes see. Because I'm telling you, if Jesus was moved by what he see, we all be in a mess. We would be in a mess. So I just think, you know, I saw some of that. I don't listen to a lot of news because all of them, it's good on every side. It's good in every race of people. It's bad in every race. It's good in the Republicans, bad in there. It's good in the Democrats, it's bad in there. It's good in the Senate, it's bad in there. It's good in the Supreme Court, it's bad in there. Because you got people. And people that do not allow the Lord to work through them. They don't give their heart to the Lord. They don't give their motives to the Lord. They don't ask God to let me love like you. Let me see like you. Father, help me not to judge anybody because, you know, you made us and you don't make mistakes. So the way you made me, and we got to stop telling our people, and I can know coming up, you know, people would laugh. You said, oh, boy, I'm going to be the president. They would just laugh, and that's because, after all, you're black, so you're stupid. You can't learn. There's no such thing. It's a mindset. We've got to tell our young people, no, you don't need them to let you in college because you're a certain shade, whether it's white, black, or whatever. You need to get in college because your grades are good, because you're pursuing what you're going after. You're allowing the Lord. You are smart. You can learn. You can do this thing. And when you do that, because Apostle, if you do that, it's going to handicap you for the rest of your life, because you're going to go through life expecting somebody to just give you a handout, and that's what's wrong with a lot of people, and some people may get angry at hearing this, but it's the truth anyway. You get this welfare mentality. You know, you get this welfare mentality. Well, who told you you weren't smart enough, you couldn't run a bank, or you couldn't run an office, you couldn't be a doctor, you couldn't pursue this? It's a mindset, and we got to get rid of that. I don't want you just to give me something because I'm black. Please. I have a brain. I'm smart. I can learn. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. It doesn't matter that I didn't live, as they say, born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I got God in me. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got the power and the anointing of God on me and on my life. And God can live his life through me. So don't try to cut me no corners. Give me the same test. Let me study. And I can make the same grace. And then when I walk across there, it won't be because I had to have a certain amount of this race of people in here. No, I don't want to be counted like that. I want to walk across that stage because I made the grade, because I made the cut, because I know I'm smart enough and I studied. I went after and I pursued what I wanted to pursue. Now, is there unfairness in there? Of course. Is there people don't want us in there? Of course. But that don't make no difference. This earth belongs to the Lord. So it doesn't matter what you want me in there. Now, if God be for me, who can be against me? So I think really, truly, it's a mindset thing. And people want to stay the way it's always been. We want an excuse. And it's not just our race. You got that in every race. They just want handouts. Some people, now not all, so don't nobody get mad. But some people just want handouts. But I'd rather know that I got there because I did the work and not because I was born a certain shade of color.
You're right. And you know what came to me whenever you mentioned the church? How God attempted to make the course correction with the church when he started creating these education, these church-based colleges or education programs. And you're right, even within that, as you were saying, all the chaos and confusion that's going on even in the church. Now the question, when Jesus returned, the Messiah returned, he's going to go to where first? To the church, to his body. And we who represent that body, we need to be focusing on what's happening there and what's coming out our mouths as we stand before the people. One thing that my preaching professor, I never forget, he said, y'all are like doctors. He said, y'all need to know your congregation. You can't, if you go to the doctor's office, you expect him to know the symptoms and be able to tell you or prescribe to you what you need to in order to overcome the problem that you came in there with. Well, basically the same thing happens in the church, in the congregation. If you know your congregation, you're not going to get up there and tell them, we're going to go to New York tomorrow when they can't go over to Georgia.
That's right.
Or they can't just cross the line from South Carolina into North Carolina. You know what they're going to need to be able to do that, so you're going to prescribe that. And what I see happen within the body of Christ today, we have, again, moved away from our first love. And we have brought in all this idols and idolatry and all this stuff into the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I might be wrong, but already.
She's just trying to sit on the dugout, but she was in the dugout last.
I'm here. Y'all doing good. I'm just listening. You're doing good, but to me, and you know, I'm about like you, Father. Yes, it's detraction. This is a detraction that the enemy is having people to speak out and coming against for God's sake. We are to be preaching the kingdom. And I'm going to be honest. I don't look at the news unless the Lord tell me. Most of the time, when, you know, God did not share some things. One day this weekend, the Lord woke me up, and in that time he was talking to me, God, through one of my brothers in the Lord, the United States going to be saved. Because God got a lot of saints praying. And God don't have no respect of person. When Saul, when the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, all the sin had came to God, and God saw and talked to Abraham. And Abraham succeeded. He started out with 50 righteous. Now look, in the United States, and I know I'm kind of shifting, changing the subject just a little bit, the conversation a little bit.
No, you're not.
Abraham,
you're on target.
We are born again. It's more than 50 righteous people in the United States. Now, I don't care if all the negative you hear, but God said the prayer of the righteous avail as much. United States going to be saved. Now, I don't know all the details of how he going to do it, but
that's
God
right.
gave me a blessed assurance. I got such a peace about it, and the Lord let me know he said, and all the stuff y'all hear, oh, God, thank you. He said, ain't nothing but a distraction. He said, stay focused on what my word said. Keep preaching the gospel. Preach Jesus come, death, burial, and resurrection. Preach that God loves everybody, like Apostle Gwen said. And it ain't going to be great to people. When I hear people keep separating it, you either haven't read your Bible or you don't have a revelation. It's only the believers and the unbelievers, the righteous and the unrighteous. But the enemy keeps injecting new people that are immature and ignorant. He keep trying to make us a race thing. He's been trying for years to have a race walk. He's still trying. And guess who he uses? The sad part. He used some people as Apostle McIntyre spoke on last week so beautiful. People of lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. That's what he used. And that's what I was thinking about as you were saying, the Lord also brought something. Remember Aaron and Miriam, when they had a problem with Moses' wife because of her sin. God, what did God do? God dealt with them. And even just like, remember, as she said too, with Peter and Paul, when how Peter wanted to get with the Gentiles, when he would ride them and he would get with the Jews, or with the Jews, and Paul had to correct him. What we got to do, when we hear this stuff about race as a born-again believer, we got to, if we have the opportunity, we got to inject the love of God. We got to inject the cross.
Yes.
What happened at Calvary? What it meant for us? In Galatians, the third chapter, what did Paul tell the Galatians? He said, in Christ, it's no male, nor female, not Jew, not Gentile, born or free, but we all. And y'all, this what we got to get to. And listen, the body of Christ, we see a lot of stuff going on in the body, but God done gave me the blessed assurance. We come into the unity of faith, y'all. I can't give you the details.
Yeah.
I don't know the details. I know the outcome. God said we shall come to. We come into the unity of the faith, y'all. And that's what I'm going to have to keep my mind focused on when the enemy try to rise up all of the goods. And all of that stuff is nothing but a distraction.
That's all.
And like I said this a long time ago with my children. And I thank God how the Lord done blessed my children. Both of them spent over 27 years in the Air Force. Both of them got their degrees. The only degree they liking is a doctor. And my son told me he might go back and get his doctor. But something God had, I put in my children. And they will always talk about, you know, with the race and what was going on and what dad go through in school. And I told them this. I said, God love everybody. I said, but don't be intimidated. And don't let nobody intimidate you because of the color of your skin. You came from the same God they came from.
Yes,
and if you will, I said, you can be the head in that and not the tail. I said, you do what you can do, and God will do what you can't do.
To the rest.
And
that's
God did
right.
that for my children. That's where I raised my children. I raised my grandchildren the same way. I tell them first, you put God first. Well, grandmama, you don't know. I said, listen, you don't know God. The Bible said those that know that God will do exploits. And we, as it's Apostle Gwen said, I'm with both. We as sons of God and daughters, y'all, we got to, when we have opportunity like what's going, we got to inject. But God is the Father. God is not the Father, but God the creator of all of us.
Yes.
And that's what I'm banking on. I don't know a lot of stuff about politics. I tell anybody, I ain't the smart. I ain't trying to be. But I do know this here. The United States is being saved.
Oh, absolutely.
And God loves everybody. And I focus on it ain't but two races of people.
That's
the
right.
The believers and the unbelievers. And I don't know about nobody else. I'm a believer. That's who I am.
And what you just said and what we all have been saying is the new thing. The new thing is what you just said. It's that there's only two classes or two groups of people, the believers and the non-believers. And God has listened to both, y'all. He's listened to both. He's not just listening to the believers. He's not just listening to the non-believers. And those of you who are listening, we're not condemning anybody. We're just stating what the Word of God says. And the word is where the power is. The word is where the authority is. And if you apply that to this situation, you will have peace. You will have joy. Your hope and your faith will, you have leaps of faith because you know that the Creator is involved in this. And he already said, I'm doing the old thing a new way. Do you not perceive it? And that is what is sustaining all three of us. And that's what we are saying in slightly different ways. We are saying that we know that God is in this and God has a plan. And he is moving forward and that we need to get in that understanding that what God is doing. We have to sit and with the Word. One, sit with the Word. Two, meditate and reflect. And three, allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. Now, one who are believers, we have the spirit of discernment. The ones who are non-believers, how can you be have the spirit of discernment and be a non-believer? And that the spirit of discernment is what's leading you out of this hole that the enemy has dug for us. Yes.
God also gave me this scripture when we first came on Apostle Green, you were talking in First Corinthians, the second chapter, and beginning of that second verse. It said, for I determined, these were words of Apostle Paul. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speaking and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom. He said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And this is something God showed me more now than ever. If we want to see the power in demonstration, we got to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the power, you know, a lot of times we say, why we ain't seeing more power in demonstration? And one of my time with the Lord began to show me, he said, if y'all preach Christ, Jesus Christ, and his crucified, y'all will see power in demonstration. And that's why Paul said, I ain't even with this down with this man wisdom. That's why Paul said, all of the stuff I gave up, I don't want to know none of it. But I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. And that's why Paul has so much a demonstration in his ministry, in his missionary work. It's because of what he preached, what he focused on. And when he had the opportunity that anybody was going contrary to Christ and him crucified, Paul would inject and even talk about it. Even when we think about it, what was the first message that was preached? It talked about what Jesus Christ and him crucified, what he came to do, what happened to him. And then it said, talk about how many people got saved behind that. So there too again, what's the enemy doing? He trying to detract folks, especially us as born again believers. He don't want us to preach about Jesus Christ and his crucified. Because he know when we do that, St. Mark, good God Almighty, St. Mark, the 16th chapter says, and they went in all ye world and preached the gospel. And signs and wonder followed. God confirmed it with signs and wonder. Well, the enemy knows. When we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, what he came to do, what he accomplished, that's when the power and the demonstration going to be manifest. People going to come to the Lord. So what he's trying to do, get a head start. I got to find something to detract them. I got to find something to bring division. Come on, somebody. And even in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, remember, Paul rebuked him. He said, y'all is still acting like kind of Christian. He said, because with strife and division, he said, you kind of, and you walking as me. He was telling them, believe, you ain't walking like saved people. That's why Paul said, I know no man after the flesh. We see too much of people exhorting the flesh. Because not what Christ did, but when you read the life of Paul, Paul was always, when he got around people, and they were acting like, as he said in the third chapter, walking as mere men, but he always, when he had the opportunity, like we're doing tonight, and I thank God for what you said. Now, we're not condemning nobody, because in Christ, the Bible tells us not to condemn nobody. And I bind them that want people to believe. I take authority over that spirit of Christ, of you, because there's no more condemnation to, well, even if you ain't saved, it's no condemnation. The preaching of Christ is not to condemn you, but to convince you, to let you know.
That's right.
That somebody paid for you to be better. Somebody paid for you to have peace. And all God needs is you yielding your will over and receive the one that he sent, the one that died for all of us. And see, that's what the enemy do. And I ask the Holy Spirit, help the people. Even God, help us. Give us something to say tonight that caused the man or woman that's on the wrong track. The one that feeling condemned, feeling forsaken, feeling that it's all about their race. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, intervene. Bring conviction. Open up their eyes. Open up their understanding. Because if you don't do it, we can't do it, Holy Spirit. But you love everybody. And you using us three. Because you trying to bring them into the fold. Because it's not God's will that any perish. It's not God's will for you to be lost. It's not God's will for you to let the enemy have you thinking because the color of your skin, you can't be this and you can't be that and you this. No. That's not the spirit of God. That's the spirit of Satan. Well, why God allowed me? God, you don't understand. God allowed what you allow.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit speak to all. He was talking to me when I was a sinner. I just didn't recognize his voice. The Holy Spirit is speaking to everybody and telling them it's a better way. He might speak to you through a person of different color skin, but God speaks. But Holy Spirit, you in this conversation. Before, when it gets to the people, help them to understand what you have in us to say tonight. We're not trying to condemn nobody. We don't want nobody to think we better than them. We came from the same place they were in. And we still are learning. My point is, just what Paul said, and when we look at, Paul was a very knowledgeable, educated man. He knows all about the Jews, all the law. He knows all of that. But when he came in contact with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, when it brought the conviction, when his eyes came up, he said, you know what? I call all that. He said, forget all I ever know. All I want to know now is his power, his resurrection. That's what Paul began to focus on. Because he found out all the stuff that we've been debating about and arguing about and what I done went through in life and we're trying to do. He said, it wasn't about nothing. And when we come into the knowledge of truth, when the reality about who God truly is, who Jesus, and how much he loves all of us, and it ain't about the color of your skin. It ain't about this money. It ain't about none of that. It's all about him. When your eyes come open, we come into every, it's like, God, I was crazy. I was just dumb. What in the world I was thinking? And so this is what blessed me. God brought this back to me. He said, look what Paul said. Y'all want to see the power and demonstrate? Well, preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Preach that.
That's it.
When you get an opportunity, when you get an opportunity and people talking contrary, inject that. Ain't that what these apostles did? That's what them believers did, y'all. And I like some of you said, Apostle Gwen, racism gonna be here till we die because we're in a fallen world. But Jesus done made a way we can live around it and above it if we let it. And that's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. That's why Paul said, let's set the record straight. The Jews is no better than the Gentiles. The Gentiles ain't better. God loves all of y'all. The female just as much as a male. But see, look at what the enemy even doing with that. Yeah, he done brought some mess in about that. It's the enemy. It's distraction.
Yeah.
Y'all, we got to stay focused. We got to stay focused on the Lord. What he said. God, what you saying about all of this? The enemy want us to get together. What Paul told Timothy. Timothy, avoid philosophy, a lot of foolish questions. Avoid that stuff. No, Timothy, Paul told Timothy. He said, avoid it. And y'all, just what's happening? The enemy trying to draw us into that circle. Well, what you think? I think what the word thinks. Well, then you tell them what the word says. Some of us might throw this up. Well, did you go to college? How far you got with your education? See, the enemy go always trying to find something to detract us. And this is another detraction. That's all it is. Because the devil knows my time is really, really running out fast. And I got to find some to get them Christians to shut their mouth about this Jesus.
If they ever get on one accord.
So what, Gwen?
If they ever get on one accord.
That's what they're afraid of. We got them on the run, y'all.
Yeah, he's terrified. When you were saying that, Apostle, I had put in Acts, and when Peter went up on the rooftop, and he went into a trance, and the Lord took down all this, and he saw all these animals, and told him to rise up and eat, and he said, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the voice said to him, well, cleanse, that call not thou common. And in verse 28, this is after Simon comes, he's there while he's on the Cornelius comes, and he's supposed to go back with Cornelius. Verse 28, and this Peter said, he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God have showed me. See, that's what it's going to take. But God have showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. See, it's going to take, like you said, preaching Jesus and him crucified. That the Bible's about Jesus. This Bible is about Jesus. Death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because if he had just died and was never resurrected, we'd still be lost, still be in our sins.
Come on now.
But he was resurrected. He ascended to the Father. He sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. He is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he said, this Peter said, but God have shown me. So this is, you doing right. This is what we need to pray, the prayers that Paul prayed. Lord, I pray the eyes of their understanding come on. They're
that's
in darkness.
It.
They
that's
don't
it.
Understand what they're doing.
They don't.
They don't. So we got to pray that their eyes of their understanding will be open. And Peter went on in verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Come on now.
No respect of a person. No respect of a person. That's it. That's it. God has to show. And that's what we need to be praying instead of, you know, a lot of things we're saying. God, open the eyes that they're blind. They don't understand. They're under the influence of Satan. And so, Lord, we just pray that the eyes of their understanding will come open. Because if he could open his eyes, he can open all of our eyes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The thing is, we have to understand that we do not have, we have the courage, the spirit of courage and not fear. And if we just stand up and quit going along to stay long, that's what we used to say when I was pastor. You pastor, go along to stay long. Because they're just telling the people what the people want to hear. And that's not what we were called to be or called to do. We're supposed to have that spiritual, I don't know what we call it, or whether we call it, it's just, I call it the courage, the spiritual courage to stand. You got the word. You stand on the word, you proclaim the word, and you stand on it. You don't proclaim the word today and tomorrow you don't change it because somebody didn't like it. I know I have been in a situation where people didn't want to hear what I was saying, and they let me know. But my thing was, that's what God gave me to give you. Now, you got a problem with me, you need to go to God. And that's how I left it. And then hope that they would go to God and the Holy Spirit will remind them or convict them that I was not speaking out of who I am, not out of trying to say something to hurt somebody. We're trying to elevate them to the fact that what they're doing and where they are is not where God wants them to be. According to the word, not based on my understanding, just looking out there, but on the word. God's word says that if you're going to be here, then you should be doing this and this and this. And this and this and this, you're able to do it if you know the word. And people, you set up a situation where you had Bible study, time has gone already. You try to set it up at a time that was everybody would be comfortable coming out to, and they still didn't come. But yet, they wanted to challenge you. That's what you said. So what I did, I would give them the scriptures before, and they had the scriptures all week, and that's what the sermon would be based on. That caused them to have to read the scripture, or a lot of the criticism or complaints that they were making, they went away. They said we have 60 seconds, so we got less than 60 seconds. Now, anybody have any last words? Nobody's coming behind us today, so if anybody got any last words, we got time for it. Well, if there's no last words, I prayed before. Who wants to pray us out? I prayed us on. I felt and you have more than 10 seconds.
Go on ahead. Go on, Apostle Green.
Bless your heart. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this wonderful time that we've had together today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking through us to your people. I pray that their hearts have been blessed, Lord God, that the eyes of their understanding have been opened. And, Lord, that we understand that this Bible is about who you are, what you've done,
mm-hmm.
what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, just pray the very peace of God, the grace of God on every ear that was listening, eyes of understanding to be open. And Father, help us as the church to unite together and become that one new man that Jesus died and shed his blood for. Father, we're so thankful and grateful to you for this opportunity to come together. And we just speak the blessing and the grace of God upon every household that's listening, everybody that's represented. We thank you for Pastor Armstrong and Pastor Miller. But most of all, God, we thank you for Jesus and his precious blood.
Yes.
Father, we just cover
yes.
everyone with in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. I want to thank God for y'all and thank God
amen.
For you, the listeners. And we
yes.
will be back here. And, you know, it's amazing how God comes up with these topics that we mm-hmm. that we expound on, and that all that our discussion, our opinion is based on Scripture.
Amen.
And so I hope people who are listening understand that, and I hope they have that Bible, and that they open mm-hmm. that Bible and see what the Holy Spirit would lead them, and because. Let them pray, and they will find that they will have the same level of peace or similar level of peace that we have found in the midst of all that's going on in the earth today. And the time is this. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.